gracious Father, we humbly, reverently, obediently come to thy throne of mercy this day, believing, Father, that you are the Word, and in your Word is life, and peace, and rest, and all these wonderful things, Lord, that you have for them to believe you. So, Father, we do believe you, and because we believe you, Lord, we come to look at thy Word, which you came down with a shout through this hour, a message through the lips of your vindicated prophet, the man that you chose to echo you firsthand. And so, Father, we humbly lay ourselves open to echo you secondhand. Be with us, Father, as we reflect upon the series of Christ as a Mystery God and Realty for Brother Branham's sermon. Lord, and we just ask you to allow the words which are spoken, Lord, to become part of our lives. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, we'll begin our review number 4, which I would like to call it Believers and Unbelievers. And we'll begin by reviewing Christ's Mystery God Revealed number 44, which was entitled Earnestly Contending or Just Contentious. We took our text from Jude 1 and 3, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, this scripture has been used mockingly by many people who have just a contentious spirit. And they say, well, we're supposed to earnestly contend. And so they actually use this scripture as a defense for a contentious spirit. He didn't call us to be contentious, brothers and sisters. He called us to earnestly contend. That means when you've done all you can to stand, then you stand. When the Bible says, them that are heretics reject after second admonition, it doesn't say treat them like devils. It says just simply let them go. Let them go. Don't fuss with them. You see? Now, Romans 2 and 8 says, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness and unrightwiseness, there remains indignation and wrath. So, if you're going to be contentious, you can expect one thing. You can expect indignation from God, and you can expect his wrath. That just lays it out. You better get sleep. All right. Paragraph 184, Brother Brown said, from his book, that's the paragraph. Predestinated, there is a mystery. Before Christ or anything else was ever on earth, you see a great mystery, that he chose the bride. No evil fall from disbelieving the word, knowing that she would fall, but he would choose a bride that would not fall, that would hold that word regardless of what all the rest of the world had to say about it. They would hold to that word. They are predestinated to stand there. The adoption of children by Jesus Christ predestinated the church to that great, glorious stand. Well, I have a question for you this morning, because I know, for me, I've never withheld the gospel from any of you. When I preach this gospel, I preach it just as hard as I can, and I've always looked at what Brother Brown said. If I had to preach to the four posts of the church, I would do so. I hope you can do the same. I hope that if it comes down to you're the last man standing, you're willing to stand. Because there's going to be something to take the people out of here. It's happening all over the world. It's happening. They're turning on a vindicated prophet. They're turning what they're doing, and I'm going to get into that just a little bit. But their federations of message believers are propping up in Africa, in the Philippines, different places around the world. Gabon, the government now is calling for them to be in a federation where they have one leader that's responsible for the entire federation. So if you want a federation, if you're a message church, you got to be in a federation of message churches, or you can't be a church. There's already brothers that have started these things in the Philippines. I remember in 2000, I was there. I saw the list of ministers that signed up to be in a federation of message believers. In Congo, there's people putting themselves forth as the leader of the Federation of the Message Believers, Message Churches. And we're going to find out exactly this morning that is their receiving the mark of the beast. That's thus saith the Lord, according to God. Now, we spoke on the importance of being in Christ. Because most churchgoers might be in church, or they might be in the right circle in their church, or they might even be in the right doctrine of their church. But the question is, are they in Christ? He is the Word. You see, it does not matter that you're in the right thing. I mean, it does matter that you're in the right thing. And the right thing is not the doctrine of your church. The right thing is not your circle in your church, but are you in Christ? It all boils down to one thing. Are you in Christ? And is Christ in you? Are you completely surrendered to Him? Are you completely filled with His Spirit? In fact, we find that there's coming a squeeze on the people, and the governments of this world have already started contacting the churches in several countries that I know, and are telling them that they will not be recognized as a church unless they join a confederation of churches. I received an email from a brother from Gabon yesterday who asked me if it's okay to join. And I said, yes, if you want to take the mark of the beast. But if you do not want the mark of the beast, then absolutely do not join any federation of churches, no matter what they call themselves. The brother told me that in Congo DRC, there's a very large church with around 10,000 people, and that church has confederated and many smaller churches now are identified with that church as the leader of the Federation of Message Churches in DRC Congo. When I was in the Philippines in 2000, I saw a list being circulated that many ministers were joining. How in the world could people even ask me the question? Another Federation of Message Churches. I've seen this type of thinking go on for at least 14 years now. They think where there are numbers, there's safety. Well, let me tell you something. The only number you should be concerned about is two, you and Jesus.
All right.
That's it. Now, let me share you what Brother Brown said on that. From the token, he said, I'm trying to press upon your minds, friends, that the hour has struck, that something's got to be done by it. We must do something. It's either in or out. That's all. The hour has come where the token must be there. If this church ever expects to remain alive until Jesus comes, the token will have to be there, that's all. If death don't, it'll take the death mark. And soon, it's in Congress right now, the big machine set up to make all churches come into that federation of churches, and you'd better really have the token shining, but the hour is here for the exodus, and this time we're going to the promised land, the promise of eternal life. From the indictment, he said, look at the scandal in England. Look at the scandal here. Look at the whole thing. Become a house of prostitution. Why is it? Why did Russia become communism? Because of the vulgar and dirtiness and the non-power of the Catholic Church. Notice, the non-power of the Catholic Church. There's your John 14:12. It's not being lit up. That's exactly why this nation is taking over communism in a federation of churches and joining itself up with the Catholic Church, which communism and Catholicism will unite together, you know, and here they are doing it. Why? Because they have rejected the gospel that separates them and makes them a different people. You say nonsense. Well, that's exactly the reason. The ministers in the pulpits putting up with it for a meal ticket, for a social standing of some creed, and say, I belong to so-and-so, swapping education for the power of God. Let me tell you something. When the government closes down this church, at least I'll go on vacation. I finally have. I'm not worried about them shutting us down, because when that happens, brothers and sisters, we'll get this. That's the last thing that will happen before we go. So let it come. From is your life worthy of the gospel? He said, and tonight, that's the reason this nation stays. She's doomed. There's no hope for it at all. She's crossed the line between judgment and mercy. She's elected in what she has here to control the nation, and she's rotten to the core. Her politics is rotten. The morals of this nation is lower than anything that I could think of, and the religious system is rottener than the morals. She becomes, in doing this, she has now joined herself, all these churches and of the nation, into the Federation of Churches, and has taken the mark of the beast. What a thing. Why? Christ, give them the opportunity, come to my feast, the Feast of Pentecost, which means 50. And from the Lord, just once more. Now, what is this coming together and taking the mark of the beast? What is this federation all about? It's to fulfill the gathering, the binding into bundles. That's what it's about. They've got to be bundled. There's no excuse. Once you're in there, there's no excuse. You say, well, I don't believe all that they say. I don't care. You're in there. You join yourself to the harlot. Our Lord, just once more, he said, and remember in that time, all the ministers give in. They give in. Jezebel was the leader. Listen, Ahab himself was a pretty nice guy, but Jezebel was the neck behind the head. She was the one who did it. She was a renegade. I ain't got nothing against that man as a president, Tom F. Kennedy, but it's that Jezebel system that's behind it. Can't you see these popes and things coming in now? Ones raising that don't know Joseph. And the first thing you know, we are right now asking the Protestant church to consolidate with it, and everything and every organization will go right into the Federation of Churches, and there you're trapped. We are living off of tax money that will be paid 40 years from now. The nation is broke. Where's it at? Who's got the money? We haven't got it. Our bonds are no good. We've got to have gold. And who's got it? The Catholic Church. What will they do before these whiskey men and all these great holders of stocks, stockholders, will ever give it up? They'll absolutely sell out. And the church will loan the nation the money. And what will it do? It'll sell its birthright right straight into Catholicism. Then, what are you going to do? Amen. That's the goal of the world, them and the Jews, and that's the covenant that he makes with Israel. See, you Bible readers can teach that in your church. You see, I'm just showing you, I believe the same thing. July, the Pope comes to America. Look for things to happen. Last month, he went to Israel. First time since Pope John the 22nd, or 23rd, I don't know the number, but anyway. Pope going to Israel, now he's coming to America. Why? The Jews, the Jews of Wall Street, Jews over there, the Jews of Wall Street. But be not afraid. So the only thing that can save the people, they're afraid of it. Is Jesus Christ. In this hour of tragedy that we're in, when the church is just about ready to go into the Federation of Churches, now listen, please listen. Time after time after time, we've pointed things that are coming down the pipe. Things are going to happen. They are happening. All these things that are not just suddenly on top. They're all being hilled under the table. Now they're coming on top, but we can all see, and they don't even care. It is too late to flee to anything but Jesus Christ. Make sure that you have a personal relationship, that you're filled with the Holy Ghost, or you're not going to rapture. You will be here for the tribulation. That ought to make you desperate. Take everything. Look, I don't understand people fleeing the message, fleeing even this little church in this late an hour. Where are they going to go to? Come together and without a ministry to help them? I don't understand these thinking. We are right at the door. The rain is just about to fall. We're in the ark. We're just waiting for the rain to fall. And people got their own mind about it. They're going to go, whoosh. Why? Because they're not made for this. That's all I can say. They are not made for this. They're not made to be in the ark. That's all I can think of, brother, sister. And I could be wrong in that. I'm not a vindicator. I don't know everybody's heart. But it's too late an hour to be scrambling for loose change. The dollar is going to be busted, possibly by the summer. Possibly after the Pope comes. It's already doomed because China and Russia just passed a $400 billion 10-year contract for oil. And it's going to be, they're not using the dollar as a reserve anymore, which breaks the Bretton Woods agreement. Already, Brazil and others have said, we're not going to use the dollar. Some countries are already making it illegal to use the dollar. The dollar is doomed. It's gone. It's finished. So where are we at? We're in the ark. We're getting ready. Just keep repeating those promises of God every day. And don't forget the last promise. There is a rapture. I believe God will let you get to the very... It's testing time. Mm-hmm. He's going to let you get right down to where you can't see nothing. Then just look up. Just look up. It's time to go home. From influence of another, he said, I understand that everybody that won't agree and come into the international agreement of this fellowship, that they're trying to form and unite all churches together, the Federation of Churches, that all that won't come in and unite with it, they're making them a little province, and they're going to send them to Alaska. You might as well get ready for the cold, because it looks like it's coming. So what a disgrace. One FEMA camp, they say, is for mental patients. It's already set up. They say it will house 2 million people. Isn't that interesting that Alaska only has 700,000 population? Didn't a vindicated prophet tell us? You might as well get ready, used to the phone. Another FEMA camp in Alaska, 500,000. So you're talking about 2.5 million people to go hold. I doubt there'll be 2.5 million people that don't bow down to the Federation of Churches. They'll all come in. The spoken word is the original seed, Brother Branson. Remember, there will be such a denominational gathering pretty soon. It'll be terrific. And they will bring themselves together into this Federation of Churches, and then after this kind of church will be put out of operation, as far as they know. It's at that time that Jesus will appear, and he will show which is bride and which is not.
Amen.
The spoken word is original seed. Remember, the tares, the weeds, are to be gathered and bound into bundles. Is that right? This has to come to pass. The apostate organizational church is bound tighter than they ever have bound, was bound. They are bundled together in the Federation of Churches, ready for the fires of God's judgment. I never wrote this. I feel that he did. Pentecostals are full of so-called the same as them. The weak word will be gathered someday after they leave for the masters. From spoken word, original seed. Now, there's many young people here. I don't know. Jesus may come this afternoon. He may come next year. I don't know when he will come. But remember, if I do not live to see that day of his coming, which I hope that I will, and somehow believe I will. Now, if I do not see it, do not let this word ever depart from your ears and your heart. See, just remember, I speak in the name of the Lord. Now, I believe it with all my heart. That's the way it'll wind up. There will be like a union, a boycott. All such places as this here will be closed down, and you will not be able to speak unless you've got permission or a license from this Federation of Churches to hold a service. From hearing and receiving an act that the Carmel Church is heading right towards a Federation of Churches, that's exactly right. And from here, recognize and act upon the word. See, we're at the end. The carnal world, the carnal church is at its end. Watch how it's heading up in the Federation of Churches. The United Brethren went into them. The Pentecostals is into them. All the rest of them organized themselves. We've got organizational right in this passage. We've got clicks here, camps here, camps here. That's organization. All right? The next step is to confederate or to federate. From hearing, recognizing, and acting. Listen, I'll tell you what. They've already federated in this message. They've already federated in this message. I found that for the last 12 years going overseas, that, you know, if they're not in your camp, so to speak, if you're not in their camp, they don't even want to hear you. And I come home, and I got the same thing from the very camp that I left. In fact, I never really was part of that camp. I had my own relationship with Brother Bell, but I never believed in being in a camp. You listen to my sermons for years and years, I never believe that stuff. I can't even have fellowship with those people anymore. Why? It's not because of me. I'd love to have fellowship with them. But they all think that I'm a devil because I don't believe everything that Brother Bell said is thus saith the Lord. I don't believe everything he said is thus saith the Lord. I don't believe Brother Bell was infallible. I'm putting it on tape. I don't believe Brother Branham was infallible. I'm putting it on tape because Brother Branham said himself, I am not infallible. Now, if Brother Branham is infallible, and he said he's not infallible, then he's infallible by saying he's not infallible. I mean, he's a man. You understand? He said, I'm not infallible. Right? So if he's not infallible, he said it. Brother Branham said it. I gave three quotes the other day where Brother Branham said, I'm not infallible. He said, I'm a man. He said, I can make mistakes. But this word does not make mistakes. Amen? It's the word, brother, sister. It's not a man. It's the word. Amen. The Lord himself came down with a shout, with a message, which is the word. And Brother Branham was a good echo. The best there is. And hopefully, by God's grace, we can echo the same thing and hold true to that. Now, from hearing, recognizing, and acting upon the word, now the church life is at the end, the normal church, the church. Now, this may stick just a little bit, but the church carnal, the Esau church, she's come to her end. What's she doing? Heading up in the Federation of Churches, which will finally join with Romanism, or with Catholicism to fight communism. Pope John is calling for all the churches to come back, and they will, and they'll unite themselves together just exactly that, what thus saith the Lord. And for questions and answers, and now that church was taken up in the remnant of the woman's seed who keep the commandments of God and have faith in Jesus Christ, not the bride, the remnant of the woman's seed. Then the dragon spurted water out of his mouth to make war with the remnant of the seed. That's when the Protestant church, under the Federation of Churches, which is the image of the or to the beast, which is now being formed, and there'll be a boycott upon all churches like this. Hey, I've already seen the boycott, and it started in this message from the camps. Like, we're in a great tax gathering gathering right here now with this youth, trying to say that we're a church. And we've got a constitutional right to say that we are a church. As long as the Constitution stands there, no amendment to that, then we absolutely have the rights, just as much right as anybody. Our forefathers stood for that, but what have we done? We've broke every constitutional law that they can break, and soon the Federation of Churches, which all the churches and denominations are invited into, and the devil's got in and making worldliness and everything in the local church members, and so forth like that, and great congregations and class and society, when the little old church is still down yonder, being born again in a mess like any birth is, still paying the price, still getting down and dying up, acting the same way they did when they first got born at the day of Pentecost, same kind of a church down there, they'll be closed and shut out under the Federation of Churches. It'll be a boycott like a union or something. You either come in or you go out. Now, years ago, I don't remember the year, 2003 or 4, when Brother Billy Diabasinga came here and spent about 6 months and he was just coming over to visit. When he got here, he said, "I want to stay." I said, "Well, brother, if you want to stay, that's your business. You should have told me before you came." And I said, "All you got to do is declare that you can't go back to your country." And he said, "Well, I want to be able to go back." And I said, "Well, you can't have it both ways." And he said, "Well, would you please, at least apply for me?" And so we did. We tried to apply. And they said, "Well, you're not denomination." So, even though he'd been translating for me for 2 or 3 years before that, and, so-called employee, because he'd been translating, but yet he was not able to come into our country. So anyway, then he said, "Well, the church up there in Lima, they got some people in, and they were willing to do it." I said, "I'm not willing to do that. I'm not willing to say we are a denomination for anybody. I don't care if it's my own family. My family knows I'm pretty tough when it comes to certain things. When it comes to this word, I will not compromise one second for me or for them or for you. I won't compromise for anybody. I'm standing alone. If I have to stand alone, I'm standing alone with this word. That's the way I feel." But they do it. I know brothers that they got health insurance. I haven't had health insurance for years. Finally got it through a different group. And you don't have to make a confession of faith. You just have to say, "I'm a Christian. And I don't drink and I don't smoke," which I don't. And that's all they require. When I was down in Panama, there were some brothers who told me, "Oh, we got this great insurance, and my wife had this operation. It covered everything." And I said, "Well, what's the name of it?" They gave me the name of it. And I contacted that organization. It was for pastors. "Well, you have to sign a statement of faith. I believe in a Trinity. And I believe, in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the Trinity. You had to sign that to get the insurance." I said, "I won't do it." These brothers did it. They said, "Well, it's just a piece of paper." "No, that piece of paper is going to haunt you at the white throne judgment, brother. You said it." It's like all these people during the Dark Ages that were killed by the Catholic Church, 68 million people in the Monterology Boston Book of Martyrs. 68 people died because they wouldn't back down on their confession of faith. They wouldn't recant. Or like they said to Luther, he said, "Here I stand." They wouldn't step down. They wouldn't stand down. Like this woman over there right now, they're ready to behead this woman because she's a Christian. And she went back, she married an American. And she she's expecting, but now she just had her baby in prison. When she came back to get her brother, the Sudanese government said, "Well, you were raised Muslim and you converted to Catholicism or to Christianity, so now you're a heretic. We're going to kill you." She said, "I never was a Catholic. My mother was always a Christian, I never was a Muslim." Even though her father had been a Muslim, but he had left the family. So she wasn't raised by her father. But because the father was a Muslim, they're saying she was a Muslim, they're going to kill her. I think we need to hold her up in prayer. How many people in this message would stand there at the point of death and say, I will not recant. You can kill me, you can kill my baby, I will not recant. I will not step down from my trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior. And it's coming. From unity, one God, one church. Did you ever think of Catholicism and the Catholic Church is trying to make every person Catholic? It won't work. It's under a man-made program. Did you ever think of the Protestant Church under the Federation of Churches is trying to force all of these little churches out? And it will happen. That you'll not be able to go to church unless you belong to the union of churches, then a little place like this will certainly pay for it. But we got a scripture that says, fear not, little flock, it's your Father's good will to give you the kingdom. That's what we look forward to. So brothers and sisters, it does not matter who you are. And if you are not in Christ, you will take the mark of the beast, that's for certain. For all who do not take the mark of God will take the mark of the beast. And we know that there has got to be something to take the people out. You see a great falling away already taking place on two fronts. One, by rejecting outright what God's prophet taught. They have set the stage for leaving the message altogether and are in the process of going out. And the others will federate themselves together. And when they do, they will take the same mark of the beast as the Catholic Church has taken. There is no difference. That organizational spirit ends up taking the mark of the beast. And what about you? Are you in Christ? What do you get there? Or how do you get there? The answer is by one spirit we are all baptized into one body. Not two bodies, not three bodies, but one body, which is the body of Christ, and Jesus is the head of that body. And so in Noah's day, it was most important to be in the ark, which was the message for that day. Come into the ark or perish. And in this day, the message is come into Christ or perish. You must be in Him or you are going to perish one of these days. Too many people have a carnal mentality when it comes to this message or when it comes to being a Christian. They're comfortable with the tenets of their church, but they are not comfortable being in the fellowship of His suffering. Last year I had a conversation with Brother Billy Cole, and I mentioned to him, Brother Billy, my whole desire and what I feel God wants me to do is to get the people to see that the same God life that was in His Son is the same God life that was in your father, Brother Branham, and that same God life is supposed to be manifested in us. And he replied, Brother, that is the message. That is the great revelation of this hour. And as we have studied, the spoken word is original seed. The entire message dealt with the life in the seed, and that same life is to be in us. Brother Billy Paul also said to me that his father told him that if anyone wants to hear one sermon, one message that brings up all my entire message in one sermon, it would be the spoken word is original seed. He said that one sermon is a compilation of all that I have taught. So we read from Spoken Word's original seed where Brother Brown said, Oh people, God bless you. Hear me. I can't believe nothing but God's Word, and I want it to be my life, and everything that I want you to do the same. Let your walks and your talks and your moves and everything you do be in the Word of God. Let the mind of Christ come into you, and that will impregnate you with the Word. And if you let the mind of denomination come in, you'll be denominational pregnant. If you let the mind of Christ come into you, He can't deny His own Word, because He's God. You'll be impregnated with the Word and believe it. I don't care if they put you out, kick you out, run you out, and every door is closed, you'll go just the same. Amen. And also from the spoken words original seed, Brother Brown said, Now, it's rough, friends. It's very rough. I don't mean to be that myself. I hope you understand that. See, but today I'm giving you the expression of why I did the things that I have done. Now, for just a little analysis, before we dismiss for lunch, is this. I want you to know that this has been my motive, and my objective is God's Word. My motive is to please Him. And I can't listen to everything and believe God's Word, neither can I listen to everything and please God. My motive is to know His Word and to please God by serving Him by His Word. And so I was thankful to hear what Billy Paul said. Because so many in this hour have gotten sidetracked by the explanation of the doctrine, that they have failed to realize that Brother Brown taught us that the doctrine is Christ. So it's not to know about Him, but rather to know Him as life. Something that if you have the right doctrine, you have Christ, you're in. No.
That's not what the Bible says. It says if you don't have it, then you don't echo God. He that has the doctrine of Christ echoes God. So you need the doctrine in order to echo God. But let's face it, you can repeat the doctrine like a parrot and still not have Him who is the doctrine. But I believe that if you have Him, you will come to know the doctrine because He is the doctrine. But to have the doctrine in your head and not in your heart is no good, because believe Him because He is the Word. Now, that sermon led us into Christ is the mystery of God revealed, number 45. Christ is the pattern of all sons, of which we have spoken concerning this topic on many occasions. We use the following scriptures for our text. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways are past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor, or who hath first given to Him, and then shall be recompensed unto Him again? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. In other words, it's not about you, it's about Him. It's all about Him. In Acts 17:28, for in Him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of our poets have said, for we are also His offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's devices. In other words, understanding the Godhead is not a theology, something made up by men, but it is the reality of the living and breathing God living in your very person. Philippians 2:13 tells us, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure. And Brother Graham said the same thing in paragraph 100 of his message, Christ and the mystery of God revealed. He said, now, down through the age, He has been slowly unfolding this mystery. Can you see now? Now, down through the, how that He, what happened in the prefigure now, He opened Adam's side and took part of the flesh, which was Adam, to make Eve. The bride has to be the Word, for He is the Word. She cannot stand on creeds. She cannot stand on denomination. She cannot stand on good behavior. She has to stand alone on the Word because she's part of it. She was taken from Christ, see? If you abide in Me, the Word, and the Word abides in you, then ask what you will, because you and the Word are the same. He has the preeminence. He's got the rulership. You're a prisoner to Him. The world is dead. You have nothing more. You see the rest of the people living the way that they do, but yet you do not do it. You're a prisoner. You're yoked with Him. My yoke is easy, He said, yoked with Christ, with His Word. I do that only which pleases the Father. And if you can't believe that I am He, then believe the Word. It's so perfect. And so that led us to Christ and Mr. God Revealed, number 46, where we spoke on revelation or delusion. And the sad thing is that many people who claim to believe William Branham don't even know the difference between what a revelation is and what a delusion is. And so that they have opened themselves up to receive the delusion. We took from our text, paragraphs 120 to 22, where we hear Brother Branham say, look, Christ in you makes Him the center of the life of the revelation. Now, remember, revelation is defined as manifestation of divine truth. So if it's manifestation of divine truth, because it's an unveiling, which is a manifestation, it's a revealing, then look, Christ in you makes Him the center of the life of the manifestation. Christ in you, not Christ in William Branham, Christ in you makes Him, Christ, the center of the life of the manifestation. Where? In you. See, Christ's life in you makes Him the center of the revelation, makes Him the center of the manifestation of divine truth. Christ in the Bible makes the Bible a complete revelation of Christ, and Christ in you makes you the complete manifestation, the complete revelation of the whole thing. See what God's trying to do? What is the new birth then? You say, well, Brother Branham, what is the new birth? It is the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Amen. See, now you joined a church, you shook a hand, you've done something different, you said a creed. You know, you had the Godhead down like that. You had Prusy down like that. No matter what anybody says, what takes place is Christ. Whether it's pastor, priest, whatever it might be, it's Christ in you. That is the revelation that the church was built upon. Well, you say, well, I'm a Lutheran. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Presbyterian. That don't mean like that. That to God. Not a thing. Not a snap of your finger. What is it? It's Christ being revealed. And He is the Word. And when the Word is revealed, it expresses itself.
Jesus.
So if you truly have a revelation, here's an expression that goes with it. See, that's God's purpose, that Jesus Christ was to express himself, to take his own laws and live by his laws and fulfill his laws by death. Christ, God died in flesh in order to condemn sin in the flesh, that he might bring to himself a glorious bride, redeem that will believe only in the word of God and not swap it like Eve did for intellectual conceptions of men. You see it? That's Christ's idea. That's God's idea. The new birth reveals this. And if a man says that he's born again and try to place these promises of Christ in this last day to some other age, making him Christ yesterday but not today, then that man or that person has been in a delusion by Satan. And if that man says that he believes that and it doesn't manifest itself through him, well, Jesus said in Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe into all the world and every age, casting out devils and speaking with tongues and all these great manifestations of gifts that would follow, that they shall not, not that they may be, they ought to, they will, and heavens and earth will pass away, but his word won't. If that is not taking place in your life, you better pray that you can die to yourself because you haven't died yet. When you honestly, in your heart, die to yourself, you will begin to see the supernatural presence of the supernatural God working in your life. I have no doubts about it at all. Anything else is a delusion. He just said it right here. It's a delusion. Turn down John 14:12 in the bride, it's a delusion. Put it all into one man, it's a delusion. Now, revelation is a manifestation of divine will or truth. Notice it is not words, it is not just knowledge as though someone tells you something or your mind understands something. The definition of revelation is that it is a manifestation of divine will or truth. Notice manifestation as in expression. So it is the invisible becoming visible. From word became flesh in India, Brother Ramson. Now you can express it by mental conception, but if it becomes a real revelation of God, that you see it before it happened, and express it in word form, that word takes a hold and becomes material, a thought expressed. Oh my, how God could. See, if your heart and your mind is so, and infilled with God's Spirit, until your thoughts become His thoughts, amen, there you are, when your mind and your leading and your guiding becomes a direct place or a direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit that's moving your mortal being, oh my, what kind of people should we be? If the very Holy Spirit has you so embodied or empowered that you don't use your own thoughts, you don't use your own mind, you don't use your own opinion, but the Holy Spirit has you so built until your thoughts and your being is God's Spirit expressing itself through you, what kind of church would we be? What kind of a people would we be this morning? If this grand tabernacle this morning was so filled with the presence of God, why, when you didn't even use your own mind, didn't even use your own thoughts, didn't even have no alternative of your own, but just to be led by the Spirit. Don't tell me Brother Branham didn't want this in the church. He longed for it. He looked for it because it's a promise from God. So filled with God's Word that our bodies begin to express God life within us, that is when God's Word becomes a manifested Word. Manifested in you. Now, the opposition of this revelation, or the opposite of this revelation, is delusion. A delusion is something that is falsely believed or propagated. A persistent false belief regarding self or persons or objects outside of self that is maintained despite indisputable evidence to the contrary. Like saying John 14 is for only one person when there are hundreds of scriptures and thousands of quotes to prove otherwise. That's a delusion. At the end time, we find two conditions exist. Number one, an end time revelation, which is the divine truth that has been manifested. And the other condition is a great delusion in which people believe the lie. One is based on manifested truth. The other is based on intellect. Which condition do you find yourself in depends on the condition of your own heart, your own election, and whether you have a genuine love for the truth. Because the promise of the great end time revelation that we have in 1 Peter 1:13 says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And again, in Ephesians 1:17, that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And 2 Thessalonians 2:10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in an unrighteous thinking. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are two words that are very important here for us to review. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness and them that perish, he says, with all deceivableness. Now, there is not an English word deceivableness in the dictionary, but there is a word deceivable, which means to cause to believe what is not true, to mislead, and there is a suffix, ness, which denotes the quality or state of being. So the quality or state of these people's being is that they're easily misled. And of unrighteousness, or not wise, which means incorrectness. Now notice the attributes of these people is that they deceive using unrighteousness or incorrectness in their doctrine. That's how they deceive them. And the people are willing to take an incorrect doctrine. Now, from the first seal, Brother Branham said, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, deceiving people by unrighteousness in them that perish, not this pride in them that's looking for such a thing, because they receive not the love of the truth, and Christ is the truth, and Christ is the word, but they'd rather have a creed. That's the doctrine. That they might be saved. And for this cause, God has sent them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. It should be translated, as I looked in the lexicon, the lie. Not a lie, the lie, the same one that was told to Eve, that they might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And from his sermon, God of the Sea of Lays, Brother Branham said, making the strong delusion, as the Bible said it would in 2 Thessalonians, how this man of sin would come into existence and set in the temple of God, showing himself he was God, and cause the people to go into strong delusion to believe a lie, and believe it, and be damned by it. That's the same thing he did to Eve, give her. Never told her the word wasn't right, but give her a strong delusion that she believed the lie. The spirit of delusion is of the devil. Devil's now working in the children of disobedience. Disobedient to what? Was the children of this day disobedient to? Like Eve was at the beginning, the true word of God. And so Paul said in Philippians 2 and 5, let this mind that was in you be in Christ Jesus. And as the NIV puts it, let the attitude that was in Christ Jesus be in you. He also said in Philippians 3:15, let us therefore, as many as be perfectly thus minded, and if in anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal it unto you. So what gives us the ability to be thus minded is revelation that comes from God. And remember, revelation means manifestation of divine truth, so we're dealing with manifested word. Now, at the same time, all these things that are happening, this federation of churches, the dollar collapsing, you know, the world geopolitical situations that are setting up, the nation against nation. You know, doesn't the Bible say that this will be in signs of the end time? Nation shall divide against nation. And there'll be signs in the heavens above and in the earth, you know, and all these things take place. We're seeing them. What are we seeing? We're seeing the very Word of God manifested. You're seeing the interpretation of the Word. God's interpretation by bringing it to pass. You see? Now, at the same time, I'm not going to go into number 47 at this time. We'll skip up to number 49 and 50, which are as follows. Christ, the Mystery of God, revealed number 49, the voice of the sign, in which he showed that many people come up to the sign as a prophet who's assigned to the people, and they will claim to believe the sign, but these same people refuse to believe the voice of the sign. Now, Brother Ram said many people loved it when Jesus came with miracles, but when he spoke, when he began to teach his doctrine, that is when they turned against him. And to make things short, Brother Graham said, the voice of the sign is a doctrine that he brought. Now look, I've been out in the forefront for many, many years, bringing the doctrine, teaching the doctrine. And I've contacted these people that, you know, claim to believe the sign. They never did want the doctrine. In fact, they were very rude when I tried to help them. You know, when they're coming against Brother Branham, I tried to show them that the things they were saying were just total lies. And they were very, very rude. You know, they went off because they turned down the doctrine first. They turned, and the doctrine is Christ. They turned him down. What else are they going to go to? Amen? Brother Branson, many people loved it when Jesus came with miracles, but when he spoke, when he began to teach his doctrine, that is when they turned against him. And to make things short, Brother Master, the voice of silence is the doctrine that he brought. So today, there are more than 2 million people who claim to believe the prophet, and there's even a website called Believe the Sign, and these guys are the biggest haters of William Branham today. And the reason is they never did believe the voice of the sign. They never understood it. And they fought the voice of the sign for years, so who should be surprised by their fighting the sign, the voice of the sign, that they once claimed to believe? From the voice of the sign, Brother Branham said, the coming of a prophet was a sign that God is ready to speak to. Because if God ain't going to speak, the prophet wouldn't be on earth. Now remember that, he wouldn't be on earth unless God was ready to speak. And listen, the voice of the sign, that's not terminology that Brother Branham came up with. God said to Moses, if they don't believe the voice of the first sign, they'll believe the voice of the second sign. So God is the one who said there's a voice with the sign. Every stop sign has a voice. It's a stop. It's not just a red, you know, fancy thing. If you can't read, you know, you can even look at the symbol and know that that's a stop sign. You see? It has a voice. And in 1982, I remember very clearly the words that Brother Bell spoke at the Columbus Convention where he said, no prophet, no God. No God, no prophet. And he told us that a prophet on the scene is a sign that God himself is on the scene. And Brother Branham said in the voice of the sign, the coming of a prophet is a warning sign that the judgment is at hand, always has been. And from the token, he said, he displayed the sign as Messiah and so forth. And they, many of them said, yes, I could go for that. Well, now, if that was a sign, there's got to be a voice of that sign. What was the voice behind it? When he began to teach his doctrine and call them a bunch of snakes in the grass, he wasn't popular from then on. See, when the voice came with the sign went first. Now, notice Brother Graham just said the voice behind the sign is the doctrine. But they don't want the doctrine, therefore they do not accept the voice of the sign. They claim they want the word of God, but they do not want the doctrine, which is the voice of the sign. And let me tell you something, John 14:12 is a biblical doctrine, and they don't want it. So don't tell me they believe the doctrine that William Branham taught. They don't. Because I can show you thousands of quotes where Brother Branham said to everyone, every person. And many, many places, he changed the words. He said, the things that I do show you do also. He said, you walk like Christ, you talk like Christ, you act like Christ, you do the works of Christ, you do the things they did. And this led us to the Christ is the mystery number 50, the great falling away, where we took our text from paragraph 138 and 139, where Brother Graham said, just like all of them, other spies, that they did when they went over and looked at the land, they come up over there and they said, oh, we look like grasshoppers this side of them. We can't take them, the Amalekites and all these, what they're going to do. And they went back. And Caleb and Joshua being thoroughbreds, amen, by the word of God, know what God said, I give you that land. They said, we're more than able to take it. It depends on where you're born from. If you're born in the word of God, God's word has the preeminence in his church. That's what he died for. That's his purpose. That he might be able to achieve to have his preeminence working in his church. Let the word of God shine forth first, no matter what anyone else looks like. I don't care if the intellectuals say this, that. That has nothing to do with it. God's word says so, and we're more than able to take it. If I preached that in my church, a minister told me, said, I've been preaching the four posts of the church. I said, I've preached to that. That's right. God's word says so. We can't do it. God said it. Amen. Hey, you know there's a benefit to preaching the four posts. You don't get a bunch of arguments. Oh, here they excuse themselves by this. See, that's why they're blind to the message of the end time, this last day when God is proving himself. And I'd like to ask the same question. How can a true believer have seen the vindication with infallible proofs of God's presence, God backing up that messenger, what the messenger says, and then find something to find fault with and stumble over? How can it be? This is not evidence of a true believer, someone believing the sign. This is evidence of those who are totally lost. Those who the seed falls upon for the season, and they rejoice for a season, but when the trials come because of the message, they wither away, they dry up, and they perish. That's exactly thus saith the Lord, according to Jesus' own words in the parable he taught. Let's bow our hands in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And we believe, Father, every jot, every tittle. And where we fail to understand, Lord, we ask you to help our unbelief. And Father, you said if we be any otherwise minded, that means that we're not fully in sync with what you have for your word. You said that you would reveal it to us. And so, Father, we're depending upon your Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, there will be no Wednesday night service. We have communion Saturday night, 7:30. And just keep the brethren in prayer. Those that aren't here today, contact them, let them know. And